of approximately 900 graduates of West Point who were in private life at the time of the bombardment of Fort Sumter, 99 went into the Confederate service and 114 went into the Northern service. Add those two sets of numbers together and you have the total number of West Pointers in the Southern Army as 283 and the total in the Northern Army 754. Of all United States Army officers in service at the beginning of the war, that is West Pointers and men who were not trained at West Point, 313 resigned to go with the South, 767 remained loyal to the United States. Again, a decisive edge to the North. But three factors helped offset this preponderance in terms of numbers of Northern West Pointers and men with previous military experience. And in fact, these three factors may have given the Confederate Army of Northern Virginia a slight edge over its federal opponent in the early stage of the war. It's not so true in the Western armies of the Confederacy, but it is true with the Army in Northern Virginia. An initial edge both in terms of company officers, that is lieutenants and captains, and field grade officers, that is majors and lieutenant colonels and colonels. And these three factors break down like this. The first is that the larger Northern armies needed far more officers, so that the fact that the North has more in an absolute sense is necessary so that they can staff their armies at the same level that the Confederacy could. A second factor was the decision that I mentioned in our last lecture, made early in the war on the part of the North to keep the cadre of professional soldiers together, rather than to take those officers who were in the United States Army at the beginning of the war and spread them out among all the volunteer units that were pouring in to Union service. So you denied those many thousands of volunteers the benefit of the experience and training of the professional officers who were in the United States Army. The North changed that policy later in the war, but initially it denied the volunteers the services of these men. The third factor that offset the Northern advantage in numbers here was the fact that Southern military schools sent many hundreds of officers into Confederate service. The two most prominent of these schools were the Virginia Military Institute in Lexington, Virginia, and the Military College of South Carolina, more popularly known as the Citadel, in Charleston, South Carolina. There were also military schools in all of the other Confederate states. Far more men were trained in all of these Southern institutions than were trained in comparable institutions in the North. And the Virginia Military Institute was the most important of all of them, and we can use it as an example. Nearly 2,000 men had gone to the Virginia Military Institute from the time of its founding in the late 1830s down through the end of the Civil War, more than 1,700 of whom served in the Confederate Army, and virtually all of whom served in the Army of Northern Virginia and brought a tremendous amount of expertise and training into the Army as captains, lieutenants, regimental commanders, and men who held even higher positions than that. The vast majority of the Citadel's graduates also served in the Confederate Army, and a disproportionate number of them also served in the Eastern Theater with the Army of Northern Virginia. The presence of all of these men with military training amidst the thousands of volunteers provided a tremendous boost to Confederate efforts to build what would pass for a professional army during the Civil War. Richard McMurray, an excellent scholar of military affairs during the Civil War, has written a book called Two Great Rebel Armies that specifically looks at the impact on the structure and performance of the Army of Northern Virginia of all of these men trained at the Citadel and at VMI and elsewhere. And McMurray concludes, and I think correctly, that the presence of these men, top to bottom, made the Army of Northern Virginia the most efficient and effective military force early in the war. Now, the North caught up as the war went on, and men trained on the job, as it were, went into positions where they could make their talent felt on the battlefield and in camp. And by the midpoint of the war or later, there was a great evening out and I think rough parity among most of the forces, North and South, in terms of their officer material. But there is a slight advantage, I think, at least early on to the Army of Northern Virginia because of these men trained in state schools, the major factor that helped offset the Northern advantage in numbers of men who'd gone to West Point, or served in the United States Army before the war without having gone to West Point.